Welcome, everybody, to episode 331 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, September 26, 2018. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by John James Jacoby, John Jacoby James, John. That's Jeff. A lot of J's.
Jeff Agamemnon Chandler. I don't know what your middle name is. Should I know what your middle name is? Jeff?
No.
Jeff no. Charles. Jeff.
Don't even worry about it.
I like when you intro the show that you do the pause before your name. Like, it's very dramatic.
Thank you.
I'm your host, Gary.
No.
Oh, no. No? Jeff. Oh, okay.
Jeff. We do have Gary on a show later. So it's great to be back. It's been about 2 weeks. Feels like it's been forever. Mm-hmm. And one of those was a vacation week. And the week before, I think you were busy.
I was busy. Yeah. I don't remember with what, but something more important than talking to you, I guess.
And you may notice the slight difference in audio quality coming from John. That's because he's on an island.
I am on an island right now, and if the internet cuts out, which it might, then I guess I'll talk to y'all when I get back. But out of the office at the Sand Hills Development annual team meetup down in just outside of St. Pierce, Florida, and all of us are here in an Airbnb. And it worked out where the show is a little bit later tonight, where I'm able to make it and hang out. So still happy to be here.
One of the few times we've actually recorded the show, and it's nighttime. There's no sun outside. So before we, of course, we're going to talk a lot about Gutenberg today. But before we get to that, I was checking iTunes, checking out to see if we had any recent reviews, and we do have one. And this review was on August 16th by a person named Hans Had, which is kind of a unique name. Never heard of that before. And they say, after listening to yesterday's episode, it sounds like you guys need to hear some fan love. I have checked out many WordPress podcasts and subscribed to a few, but yours is the one, in all caps. I look forward to each week. Always fresh information presented in a heartfelt way. Accessible to anyone with knowledge of WordPress as a user, site owner, developer, or designer. I learned something new in every episode. Thank you for your work. No, thank you for listening to the show.
That's right. And thanks for saying so. You know, we don't always get a lot of actual feedback in those kind of official places. You get lots of grumbles on the Twitters and lots of, you know, kind of stuff that pops in when people aren't happy. But it's always helpful to hear that people enjoy the show. So thanks for saying so.
So, so today we're going to talk a lot about Gutenberg, and I brought on a special guest, actually friend of the show, and you may have heard of him before from such movies as Core Contributing to WordPress and The Security Team and Automatic, and wow, just like a superhero, he disappears.
And having connectivity issues, like I feel like I jinxed it. This is the second time Gary's dropped out in this intro part alone, but
oh, really?
Keep giving him compliments. Eventually he'll come back. It's like... he's like Beetlejuice. He'll just, if we say his name three times, maybe he'll reappear.
Oh, what if he's having the same problem you're having where it's crashing his browser?
It could be. I mean, everyone's probably just updated to macOS Mojave and experiencing the joys of Chrome or Safari deciding to just quit on you for no reason in a hangout.
So our guest is Gary Pendergast. He's a WordPress core contributor. He's on the, Gutenberg contributing team. He's got a little bit of a Guten beard himself, and we were talking a little bit before the show. He's actually got a sort of a white gray spot showing up, and he says it only started appearing when he started to get involved with the Gutenberg project. So,
right. And I think my theory about Gary's beard is that Matt's Gutenbeard is not the real Gutenbeard. I bet Gary's beard is the real Gutenbeard. If his is the one that's showing gray, then it means that Gutenberg is technically done not when it has 100,000 installs, but when Gary's beard is 100% totally gray. He's got his big gray Santa Claus beard, and that's the sign that Gutenberg is ready, I think.
So as we await on the rearrival of Gary Pendergast, we do have a couple things to talk about. One such thing is Matthias Ventura. He's the technical lead for Gutenberg development. He published a post on the Make WordPress Core site, kind of giving us an update on sort of where Gutenberg stands at this time. And he says that version 4.0 RC1 should be coming out in the next few days, and this will actually be the 40th release since the since they started distributing plugin, which I believe was WordCamp Europe 2017. That's when Matt said, "Hey, you know, you want to try Gutenberg? Go get the plugin." So I believe that's when it started being distributed as a plugin. And Matthias sort of outlined the things that have been completed, and it is sort of an exhaustive list. I mean, it's not everything, but it's comprehensive in what's been accomplished so far in Gutenberg. And if you sort of compare it to the main feature set that they targeted for the first version, it sort of surpassed that by leaps and bounds. So, I mean, they already got the MVP situated for Gutenberg, and now it's it's starting to roll out on WordPress.com. Of course, there's the Try Gutenberg call-out that's been in WordPress, and they're taking in feedback from all these different angles, just an onslaught of feedback, and they're sort of taking that feedback and incorporating it into improved iterations of the plugin. And I see that we have Gary on. Gary
made it back again. Yes. And he changed his shirt.
I kept my shirt, just changed my computer. Computer decided to crash.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was excellent timing.
Say Gutenberg three times fast and a computer crashes.
That is not what happens. That's not nice to say.
Okay. Well, no, okay.
We did say Gary three times and he appeared. Mm. That's how that works. Okay. So welcome back to the show, Gary. We're happy to see you again.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. It's been a few times I've been on now. It's good to be back.
Just a few. Good to have you.
So we were just talking about the sort of the progress update that Matthias Ventura published today on Gutenberg, and sort of outlined some of the new things that we can look forward to in 4.0 and things that have already been accomplished. But just sort of kind of give us your bird's eye view of what you've seen, where Gutenberg stands right now, Gary.
Yeah, Gutenberg, I mean, it's kind of getting to the pointy end, as it were. It's like the version of Gutenberg that we think will be like ready to go out as part of WordPress 5.0 is really, we're talking a matter of weeks or months away. Mm-hmm. So it's looking really good. Like it's got like a lot of the really good extensibility work has been done. So people are able to build more complex, like integrate more complex plugins and into it. And theme support's looking pretty solid. A lot of the architecture has been worked really well to make it extensible and to make it even it doesn't depend upon WordPress. So that's kind of where we're seeing, for example, with the Drupal Gutenberg project, they're able to able to integrate it really, really easily into Drupal because they just have to replace the bit that talks to WordPress with a bit that talks to Drupal instead.
And that was something sort of discussed early on. Is Gutenberg going to be tied so close to WordPress when it's merged into core, or will it stay as sort of a decoupled separate project outside of WordPress? And it seems like it will be able to be remain decoupled, and we're starting to see Drupal kind of grab the bull by the horn, so to speak, and they're sort of experimenting with using Gutenberg as sort of the new content editor in Drupal. Yeah, and based on some of the coverage that Sarah's written about it, and it's been presented, I think, at Drupal Europe or at sort of different Drupal events, a lot of people who are in the Drupal community are enthusiastic about this editor, which it's like it's stark contrast to the feedback and bubble of opinions and reviews that I've seen in the WordPress space.
I mean, and I still think that's reasonable. Like the WordPress space has seen Gutenberg grow from version 0.1 or even before that, when it was before there was a plugin, before it was just a tech demo that didn't even work in WordPress. It's quite reasonable for the Drupal reaction to be quite different, because when they're looking at it, they're seeing this complete product. Mm-hmm. They're not seeing, that it took some time for there to be Metabox support, for example, or it took some time for the theme integration to get up to speed. The WordPress community has seen the Gutenberg project grow, warts and all, whereas Drupal, seeing it through the lens of the Drupal Gutenberg project, has seen kind of this fresh new thing that works and is there and it's complete. And that's okay. We've got two different groups of people that have seen it differently.
Has the Drupalberg their project, I don't really know how mature it is. I know they have like a proof of concept that it's in and working and doing its thing. And so having Gutenberg decoupled from WordPress, having it at a point where you can kind of plug it in, no pun intended, into other CMSs or platforms or anything, has that, to your knowledge, resulted in any other useful feedback or like upstream patches, or have they looked at it with that external sort of lens and been able to provide feedback back towards Gutenberg that maybe otherwise hadn't have happened?
Yeah, they have been able to provide a bit of feedback. They've been active on the GitHub repo. They've been chatting a bit in the core editor Slack channel. And I don't know if there's been any specific pull requests from them yet, but that's okay. It's Gutenberg is also a big project, so I wouldn't expect anyone to go from naught to pull requests really, really quickly. It's that's okay. They're able to give good feedback and helpful feedback without necessarily needing to submit pull requests.
Because that is like one of the things that makes the WordPress and open source and all these things like work really well, is like the kind of anyone's ability to pick it up and run with it in kind of whatever direction they want, and then someone else's direction to pick it up and run the other direction whenever they want to. And there are lots of pieces that, little parts inside of WordPress that like cases and other things that weren't that were somebody else's project, or TinyMCE, that is an external project. The original approach towards taxonomies was inspired largely by Drupal. And when there are security things that happen, sometimes Django has like similar regular expression issues, and so we're able to collaborate with others across different platforms and teams. And so Gutenberg being picked up and ran in with Drupal specifically is like one, kind of obvious, I guess, but two, like really great to see them see folks on their side of it getting involved at this point, where it's like mostly semi-stable and ready for a little bit of like a different kind of scrutiny, I guess. And even with as much as we talk about it on the show and as active as it has been on GitHub, there's a lot of feedback in a lot of directions, and some of it matters and is relevant, and it all matters, but a lot of it can just be complaining, or a lot of it can just be the same thing that you're going to get to in a month or two, or prioritize or whatever else. And so they're seeing it without any of that any of the growing pains. They're seeing the kind of adult, mature version of Gutenberg without the history of what it did when it was a teenager. And so they're able to provide a different kind of feedback. So that's good.
So I have two questions for you, Gary. The first is that was being platform agnostic, was that a technical goal for Gutenberg up front, out of the gate? And B, I want to talk somehow. You raised this interesting point in a recent post you published that says, we know WordPress's mission is to democratize publishing, but you raise an interesting point that says the WordPress mission is not to democratize publishing with WordPress. And I thought maybe we can go a little deeper into what you mean by that.
Sure. So as far as being platform agnostic goes, that's always been a goal of Gutenberg. You can kind of see that from the start. Like it was 6 months before it was actually released as a plugin. Before that, it was just a JavaScript app. It didn't purely focused on the standalone editing experience. And that's that kind of, that's continued. And it's important, not just for like being able to use it outside of WordPress. It's important within the WordPress project as well, because we need it decoupled so that like the WordPress mobile apps can use it, for example. They can build native versions of Gutenberg, but they can't do that if it's tied really closely to WordPress core. They need to be able to extract just the editor and compile just that. So it's important for on several different levels. That's kind of why it's always been a focus.
So with Gutenberg reaching the 4.0 release candidate stage soon, is the goal to get Gutenberg to 5.0 so that WordPress 5.0 and Gutenberg 5.0 converge at the same time in this nice cohesive
That would be a nice coincidence. Maybe we could see it get to that point that WordPress 5.0 and Gutenberg 5.0 are released at about the same time. But that's not a requirement for any kind of release timeline.
Well, since we're talking about releases, John and I had a conversation a few episodes ago, and he was sort of talking about John was mentioning the fact that we were talking about the feature plugins model, and he was referencing that he would have liked to have seen Gutenberg be pushed or merged into Trunk WordPress sooner, because then we could get a lot of more core developers and people filing pull requests. I mean, John, you can harken back to what you were talking about, and I want to get Gary's take on that.
Gary probably knows this about me already, but I'm pretty quick to get things into Trunk and then let them hang out there for, as long as I guess it takes. And so you can always revert if for some reason it doesn't work out. But with the 4.9 release cycle kind of being as long as it is, and it's okay, I don't have any issues with that. But I feel like it's possible that while I know that smarter people than me are working on getting Gutenberg merged tightly into WordPress core, I also know that that's not really going to be super easy because there's a lot of little things that'll need to get fleshed out, and it's a little bit harder to do without doing it, I guess, is the dumbest way that I know how to say this. Is like, it has to land, and then you have to adjust it. It kind of, if the goal, I don't think that Gutenberg is an easy merge, and there are a lot of little things with plugin compatibility or JavaScript and queuing. I don't know, little things that, like, as a plugin, you're forced to compromise a little bit of that. Once it's merged into core, I think a lot of those things probably aren't or don't need to be the way that they are. And so I think having it merged earlier into WordPress Trunk or soon, for there to be some kind of build process, and so that Trunk can stay kind of auto-built and merged with Gutenberg in it, would give developers that are banking on the future of WordPress and Gutenberg a better idea or a clearer image of what the future of WordPress 5.0 could potentially be. Not that there is like all these people waiting in the wings for it to drop and then they're going to jump in and start doing whatever, but it's not unusual for WordPress core to take the route of like committing something in a trunk and letting it soak and seeing how it goes and iterating on it. I think a lot of features in the history of WordPress have happened that way. And so that getting it merged into Trunk really makes it feel real for a lot of people. And it kind of feels like we're getting pretty close to that, if not at that time where you can remove the Gutenberg top level admin menu. You can kill the like picker with the add new next to it. That stuff's got to go. There's all these little things that are in Gutenberg today that compromise the Gutenberg experience for someone who literally just wants to see what it's going to look like and feel like once it's merged in. And so that was my thought, is like, there should probably be a merged version of it available for somebody right now, like in the and you had blogged about, and we had talked about Classic Press as a fork without Gutenberg. And what if there was a fork that had it deeply integrated already in the other direction, to give everyone the option of like, well, here's the future that's coming, and there's the past that you're used to, and give everyone the spectrum to pick which side that they think that they want to fall on. Where right now, with Gutenberg being the plugin, with it being kind of compromised in there, it might leave some people kind of in a limbo state without an alternative. So I don't know. What do you think?
I think we're at a stage where we can definitely start to do that. I don't think that would have worked if we had tried that like a year ago or a year and a half ago. Like it was way too early, and Gutenberg needed to be able to iterate things a lot faster, be able to break things as it needed. But as it stands now, we're kind of at a point where a lot of those parts that do need to be merged in core and that have been stable, like we can start merging them piece by piece now. And you've kind of already seen that in some of the 4.9 releases, like 4.97, 4.98 there. They had a lot of the REST API changes, for example, that Gutenberg needed. And I think we can start doing that now, even while like Gutenberg 4.0 and 4.1 and 4.2 are still being released. Their primary focuses are on features that are mostly client-side, that are mostly in the JavaScript. And a lot of the JavaScript is, like you said, it's going to be imported as part of the build process. So it can still be iterated on quickly within the plugin and in the GitHub repo, and be imported into WordPress core.
Just getting back to that, and that's one of the things we were talking about. Like, if Gutenberg was merged into Trunk or even merged into core even earlier, I mean, would we have ended up with point release at the point release at the point release because things had to be iterated on quickly, because this is the editor. This is what people use. Everyone uses the editor in some form or fashion.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely, I think, would have ended up with, like, Trunk would go stale. And then you'd have someone who would have to manually merge all the cool stuff from Gutenberg in. I mean, it's definitely, if you do it too soon, is a problem.
Yeah, because every point release should be an iteration.
Yeah, for a historical example, I'd probably compare the scale of it to like WordPress multi-site.
Right.
We would be maintaining a fork on the scale of what back then it was MU, what the MU fork was. It was a huge thing, and it was a huge task to maintain that fork and to ultimately merge it in. So I think that probably would have hampered Gutenberg's development more than it would have helped. And it's really only relatively recently where it's been in a state where we could say, okay, it's stable enough, and it's like the experience is good enough that we can put this in front of hundreds of thousands of people rather than the tens of thousands that have been using it previously.
It's also like WordPress core gets developed in a way that like isn't, not that the technology drives how it gets built, but historically WordPress isn't working out of like a 5.0 feature branch. There's no release branch of code. It's just Trunk, which is kind of just the mishmash of everything that will end up in the next major release. And so it's plausible that if we were already working in several different 5.0 release branches, that it would be more likely that we could converge all of those together into one golden master version of 5.0. But since Trunk is kind of just the collection of things, means that updating Gutenberg on a daily basis in Trunk. It's kind of like the old school way of the pot bot running through, like recalcing all the strings with every new commit, where you just end up with this noisy change log that doesn't really serve the right purpose in the right way. So there are definitely drawbacks to it too. I think it's, I let people that, or give Gutenberg to people, but I don't like having to explain to them, like, yeah, just ignore the like old editor, or ignore the dropdown, or ignore the top level menu. That doesn't matter to you. Just write like you would normally write. It's like not a big deal. Like I'm pretty much ready for the like, here it is, Gutenberg with WordPress, like feeling native instead of feeling still kind of half in and half out. Maybe I'm just being anxious. I mean, I'm like a beta all the time on stuff.
That being anxious, John. Calm down.
I know.
Relax.
Gotta be
like a lot of that stuff, like the being able to switch between Classic and Gutenberg, like we can put that in the Classic Editor plugin as well.
That's right.
So
that's
for people who do want to be able to switch between the two, then there's that option.
That's right.
And now, speaking of releases, you know, the when Matt finally announced State of the Word 2017 that we're going to do away with release schedule because deadlines are arbitrary and all that other stuff, we went from a pattern of every 3 to 4 months we would get a major version with maybe a minor release a month or a week, depending on bugs or what was discovered, to we're going to work on some quick wins and do some user stuff and get that in and when it's ready, and we'll ship it out when it's ready. And that could be a month, that could be 2 weeks. You know, it doesn't matter. There's no release schedule anymore. And we've seen WordPress minor releases turn into sort of what would have been considered major minor releases, you know, things that have features in them. It's not just bug fixes and security releases. So I'm wondering, after WordPress 5.0, do you think, and this is just your opinion, you don't speak on behalf of Matt, but do you think we'll get back to more of a minor, major release schedule that's more predictable for WordPress?
I honestly, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to need. I don't know what, and a lot of this is going to be where WordPress is an open source project. It's you have all of the project like project decisions are made on like the make blogs and all that kind of thing. So I expect that there'll be some really interesting discussions about like, okay, what were the benefits of doing it this way? What were the drawbacks? How can we adapt it to be better? Because like the 3-year cycle worked really, really well for several years, and it was a great model. It meant that we got solid releases out on a regular basis that people knew when they were coming. That was cool. But it also had its drawbacks. It felt like that we were constantly in a sprint mode. It felt like we were that it was really hard to focus on the longer term changes. What's something that we need to do that's going to take the length of 5 or 6 releases to do? There are pluses and minuses to both models, and I think we can look back and have a really honest, really good discussion about what can we take from both of these models, what can we and use going forward.
And the models work well with whoever is contributing at the time too, which is what makes all of this work well, is your contributors that are actively participating in the building and the growth of WordPress itself may or may not want or prefer to work in a certain way and should have the freedom to decide together what the release cycle is going to look like. And I would add to that WordPress is probably more open than it has ever been, especially compared to other projects that are and you know, I guess, you know, for our listeners, even though this is a WordPress podcast, kind of assume that they're reading the same news that most of us are, where there are other concerns about other projects that are open source, like AMP or anything else, where the criticism is that they're not as open as maybe they should be. Or Android is another one of those platforms that's often criticized for like not necessarily being as open as maybe that the that you would think that it is. And the having as much happen in Slack as it does, having as much happen in the Make blogs as it does, having a, there's probably more activity in Track. I don't know how we would measure if we can get the stats. We must be able to somewhere. Like, it just feels like there is more happening from more contributors in a more open way than there probably ever has been in WordPress's history. So I agree. I think the future of release cycles is literally whatever we want for it to be. And that yeah. may or may not be what it has been before or something new.
And I'm seeing that as well. Like looking at Slack usage stats, it's constantly going up. Like more people are talking, are coming in to discuss WordPress and talk about things. On like the Gutenberg GitHub repo, like it's there are a lot of people have submitted issues and it's really, really good. I think so many of them, they're not bug reports or feature requests. They're questions and they're discussions and. Like I think people are finding in that case that GitHub is a great place to is an easy place to get started with asking questions rather than needing to learn about Track or find the forums or whatever it happens to be. People are quite active across WordPress, and which is really cool. I guess this is a really interesting time of renewal really for WordPress. So. It's really, really encouraging to see so many people involved.
And speaking of encouragement, you've got to be encouraged. I think the team has to be encouraged and both excited to actually see major projects being launched on top of Gutenberg already. Sarah just recently, I think it was the Amnesty project, I think she just recently wrote about, and there's other major sites and projects that are being developed on top of Gutenberg, utilizing Gutenberg right now, even though it's not merged into WordPress. And there are people creating these templates already, these custom blocks, and in some reports, they're reporting that their users or their clients are saying that managing and writing content in WordPress is fun. Who would have thought that, you know, that it would be fun, I guess, because you get all these little blocks, you can rearrange stuff inside of WordPress. But so that's got to be real encouraging to see sort of that type of adoption already, even before it's merged into WordPress.
Absolutely. It's amazing to be able to talk to agencies who are building these big sites like the Amnesty site. There are a lot of WordPress agencies now that are adopting Gutenberg and are kind of building out their own toolkits to build sites to fit into their processes. They're doing some amazing work extending it and really pushing the boundaries of what can be done in Gutenberg as it is, kind of pushing into more of the site customization things, which are the basis for that is there in Gutenberg already, but that's not going to become a focus until like WordPress after WordPress 5.0. But we're seeing so many people kind of pushing it and wanting it to be able to move in that direction, wanting to be able to extend it that way. So that's really cool. Especially, I mean, John, you'd know this as like when building products, you're kind of thinking about how people might like to use it and how they kind of how you should be able to build it so they can extend it, so they can do cool things with it. But you never quite know until you actually see that.
That's right.
Wow, they're using these things in ways I did not intend. Oops. Short codes. Yeah. So, So, I mean, we're going to end up seeing, agencies with their own template packs or creating their own sort of starter themes or theme frameworks, but it's going to be like Gutenberg specific, and they're probably going to release those as open source tools. And we're already starting to see a lot of black libraries that people are publishing out there with different plugins. We know that customization is going to be like a core focus once Gutenberg is merged in the core, and that's going to be exciting. And I was thinking, if we go back to the bases, the foundation of why Gutenberg is being created. It's to solve the mystery meat. It's to handle the short codes, the widgets, the doodads, all the little knickknacks can all be a block now, and you can use Gutenberg to manage all these blocks. So, and if you look at the back end of WordPress, I know that the menu area, the menu code, is something that has lamented developers for a long time. Nobody has wanted to go in there and improve the menu code in WordPress, but the menus and the widget administration screen in the back end, the UI, I was sitting here thinking, like, if in the customization phase, if we utilize the customizer and we start getting to the point where you start doing all of your site management and customization from the front end or a mix between the two with Gutenberg blocks and the customizer, could we end up with a much simpler back-end user interface by being able to just get rid of menus, get rid of widgets, get rid of all those screens just in place of Gutenberg and the customizer?
Yeah, I think...
See, I'm a forward thinker, John.
You are. You are. Have you considered kind of coming into, you know, perhaps leading WordPress 5.1?
No. Absolutely. Yep.
Did you grow a Gutenbeard of your own?
No. My wife wouldn't like that. Too scruffy.
I'd like to see you just with like a Guten hair, like hair.
I could do that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I think we should
Guten try and that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, like I think we can kind of look at an ideal future where all of these little blocks of content, whether they be widgets or short codes or blocks or menus or post content or sidebars or site parts or templates. Mm-hmm. We have so many names for saying a block of content. And sometimes the block can have smaller blocks in it. Sometimes it's a big block by itself. But that's basically all it is. So I think reducing those concepts down to a single common interface and a single way of building these things is really, really powerful. I mean, it's not that different to HTML itself. A paragraph tag is a block. It's a block of content. It's literally called a block level element in the HTML spec.
I'm going to be contrarian to Jeff. I'm going to disagree with Jeff. I think it's a good idea, but I think that would be really, really difficult and would be something that would happen over many years of WordPress.
Well, yeah, we're rebuilding the ship of Theseus, whatever it is.
That's right.
This is, I'm not saying this is not going to happen tomorrow. This is not going to happen.
So here's my other, my speculation is when I saw that hierarchical or nested blocks was actually part of like the MVP or like the first version of Gutenberg, that got me imagining that is how the site builder part of Gutenberg will work, that you would end up with a reusable nested block that in your parent block has your header, your nav, your content area, your sidebar, and then your individual blocks are your header, your nav, your sidebar. That sidebar now has blocks, and in it are widget, 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 whatever. And then you have your content area block. And so by having nested blocks, the foundation for that already exists in Gutenberg as is kind of gives creative and inventive folks an opportunity to take advantage of nested blocks to then leverage the way that menus already work, custom headers already work, widgets already work, and short codes already work, to just tie all these things together a little bit and then stylistically make them work. And then they actually have a site builder without doing a whole ton of work. And so in that scenario, and I think for that like brief period of time before we get to Jeff's very, very far forward thinking idea, that the widgets navigation and the menu navigation in the customizer stay really, really important, actually. Like, we may end up emphasizing or reiterating on the designs of those features and whittling them away and chipping them away slowly until they kind of are absorbed into nested blocks and into Gutenberg and everything in general. So it takes a lot of work to like make something slowly disappear. Like Apple is making the keyboard disappear by making the trackpad bigger and making the touch bar bigger and the keys smaller. It's going to take 5 years, but eventually we'll just have two iPads clapped together, you know, like we'll end up with, you know, it'll be really important how these features are iterated and into kind of non-existence, I think.
Well, I was just thinking about it, and I was thinking, well, if we get rid of the menus and we get rid of the widgets, I mean, somewhere in the future, and then if you think back on it, and it's like, wow, you know, the rebuilding of WordPress from within started with Gutenberg, and now the whole theory of rebuilding the ship by replacing it board by board, and at the end you have a new ship, it all makes sense now, but who knows? This is 5 years into the future or whatever.
Yeah, this is a long-term project. Like, this is where we're looking at, like John was saying, it's the nested blocks they're useful for site building. Like, it's effectively when you're building a site, post content can be just be, it's a block that sits within the blocks of the site layout. And then within post content, there are the blocks of the content. But it's a step-by-step phase. We can't do everything at once. As we keep coming back why not? I think you've got a reasonable comparison with something like Calypso there. That's taken, when did Automattic start that? That must have been five, six years ago.
Yeah.
And that was like the fourth or fifth iteration of the same project, when that started. And it's taken hundreds of engineers and designers that long to replace, to build this replacement for WordPress. They've done an amazing job and learned a lot of the work on the way. And even like a lot of the things that, that Calypso folks have learned, has meant that Gutenberg has been able to skip a lot of those first problems and those hurdles that tripped up Calypso along the way or slowed it down. So it's WordPress able to benefit indirectly, at least a lot from Automattic's experiments there.
Mm-hmm. And can you bring, John and I have mentioned this on the show, and I think it gets overshadowed by Gutenberg, but can you briefly discuss the side benefits of the improvements that the REST API has undergone in WordPress thanks to the work done on Gutenberg?
Sure. I think, and this was kind of part of the discussions when we were initially looking at merging the REST API endpoints into core back in, what was it, 4.7. It's really, really useful for any kind of API, whether it be a REST API or a programming API, to have a practical use of it, to have a feature that's actually making use of it. And we didn't get that done in WordPress 4.7, but we're seeing the benefits of that now, where Gutenberg is making really heavy use of the REST API. We're seeing, okay, where are the things where it needs to be extended? Where are the bits where we need to modify it? Where do we need to add more information? What bits aren't we really using? What are the performance issues we've run into? Mm-hmm. These are all things that we've learned by building Gutenberg against the REST API. So we've seen it in the 4.9 point whatever releases. And we'll see even more of that in 5.0, that the REST API is getting some really big, really significant benefits out of this.
And going back to that REST API discussion, it's pretty interesting looking back for me in that discussion of whether or not to merge those content endpoints into core. I believe Matt was very hesitant on adding those endpoints to core. I know he was very big on trying to get admin parity, admin backend parity with the REST API. And he even brought up the fact that if we don't see a lot of projects or things using these endpoints, that it was possible that it could be yanked out of core and turned back into a plugin. But ultimately, the decision was to merge those things into WordPress core. And phew, you know, hey, at least, you know, Gutenberg's not using REST API plugin or something, you know, that it has to tie in to get those endpoints.
I mean, if it had to do that, maybe we'd have plugin dependencies instead.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. But I think it's all worked out. Like, and that's kind of the thing. Oh, that's how WordPress has been built all along. Is like sometimes things are merged or things are built and they don't have that wider experience yet. They don't have the feedback from the millions of sites that use WordPress, and so we find that they need to iterate in subsequent releases. And we've seen that all along with name a feature, customizer, for example, as a recent big one. Think back to like the original customizer versus where it is now. It's iterated all the way along based upon feedback, and the REST API has done that too, and Gutenberg will do exactly the same thing.
Well, and WordPress's approach towards feature development is to be user-friendly, and something that is a technically fun and challenging problem like plugin dependencies is good developer candy, but it is not really a user feature in any real way. Not to say that there's not plenty of developer stuff in WordPress that makes it useful and fun for developers anyways, but like when it comes to a RESTful API and what Gutenberg would use on top of it, it also makes it helps make it remain platform agnostic by having a relatively easy to understand pattern of RESTful conventions baked into it, so that almost any other platform that understands how to communicate back and forth knows what the how to hook in and do all that without much additional work. If we didn't have a REST API, we might have some other dumb middleware layer that where Gutenberg's got to do to shim something in, or WordPress has to try and do some other juggling to get something going that isn't user-friendly and doesn't really help set a good example for other open source projects that are trying to also implement Gutenberg on their own. At least this way, they're able to look at what WordPress has in it. They're able to see what it is that their platform or project is going to need in order to have feature parity with what Gutenberg provides. And then they're able to kind of graft that in as needed. I'm pretty happy with the direction that this goes. And it reminds me of like other similar discussions that we've had about PHP versions and whether or not that those should be exposed to users or not, or how much that we're going to do for that. It's the same thing with the Gutenberg callout that's on the dashboard for things, is like how many of these features, or how much do we really truly educate users about how complex all of these pieces really are? Because in the end of the day, they should, or if we're doing our jobs correctly, none of this matters to them. What matters is that it really feels great. It works the way that that feels effortless, and is familiar across whatever platform it is that they happen to be using or signing into. And so, doing it this way makes it feel like it's all those things.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about a cool project here. It's called Gutenberg Cloud, which is it's actually a cross-platform community library for custom Gutenberg blocks. And this was a presentation that was at Drupal Europe, and the FrontCom team behind the Drupal Gutenberg project says they're working on a block management system called Gutenberg Cloud. And it's actually going to be a library that will offer a content repository for custom Gutenberg blocks, such as forms, call to action section, a product grid, or even a web component. And this was an article about the project by Sarah Gooding, and she writes that since the blocks are JavaScript only, they would work across both Drupal and WordPress alike, so developers can build for both platforms simultaneously. So how about that?
That's pretty cool. Like their initial demo is looking at more like static blocks that will just work everywhere because they don't have PHP or anything in them. But there's room there, I think, to look at how they can provide this service on Gutenberg or on WordPress or on Drupal or anywhere really. So that if you build a block and you need to do some sort of dynamic work, then you can define, okay, here's how you do that in WordPress, here's how you do that in Drupal. But the vast majority of the functionality is the Gutenberg functionality, which will just work everywhere.
And this all comes down to being powered by JavaScript. So, you know, wherever JavaScript runs, you can run Gutenberg. You could run a Gutenberg block. I'm trying to figure out how this works, but let's say I'm in Gutenberg and I'm using a block from their content library. Am I loading that block from the cloud? Like if their site or the cloud goes down, does that mean that block doesn't render? I was trying to figure out how this works.
So I don't specifically know how their implementation works, but it's something that has certainly been thrown around as an idea in just within Gutenberg, the Gutenberg project itself. But it can range from, say, you're searching in the block library for a block to put in there. It's not there. So it looks, okay, are there any plugins that provide that block? And so it can give you an interface to just install and activate that plugin, for example. Or if
which
we're
is
looking
something
at a block
like
library,
Atom code editors work that way already. Atom works that way. Visual Studio works that way. You end up with this extension section where you just search for what you want. You hit go, reload the thing, and now it's loaded, right? It's like really excellent when that works right.
And then like the block, Gutenberg Cloud, for example, say they're like, if they're just sharing specific blocks, I mean, that's even easier, really, because we've already got the functionality there. You've got shared blocks, which are the block definition is stored in a post type. It's in a custom post type. So all they really need to be doing then is download the block definition, store it in a post type, and present it as there's your block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I wonder, you know, you start thinking about right now, if you want to add blocks to Gutenberg, you have to install a plugin. And inside that plugin, it could be one or it could be 10 or it could be 20 blocks, however many blocks you want. And, you know, it'd be kind of weird if you end up in a situation where you're installing 5, 6, 7 different plugins that each have one block within a group of blocks or whatever that you need to or that you want to use inside of Gutenberg. And, I mean, are we going to end up having maybe get rid of the whole plugin thing and just have a block library that you could use or install from? Or what are we going to do about this in the future?
I think the answer is yes.
I think that's a great thing to explore. And I think it's actually something that you see in the site builder plugins is they provide these kind of libraries where you download a chunk of a page, which effectively a complex block. And it's just that single thing that you download. You install it, it's there, you can use it on your site. And so I think something like that for Gutenberg could be really, really powerful.
Yep. I like breaking down Gutenberg. I know I've done it on the show before, and I don't know if we've done it with you, Gary, or not, but like, I really do think of Gutenberg, like we take the metaphor of Gutenberg and the printing press and we keep running with it, means that these libraries, these font, these block libraries are fonts. This is a font, and each one of those blocks is a letter. And it means that all the stylistic things that we do to these blocks are ligatures. They are kerning. They are things that are familiar. And all of these metaphors translate over to blocks. And so it is and will eventually, it is inevitable that like, just like people have thousands of fonts installed, there were people that are heavily designed, very tweaked types of posts that will need many Gutenberg blocks in order to have beautifully designed, unique posts and pages all over the place. That will be a thing that people have. And at the same time, there will be a type kit equivalent for Gutenberg blocks that is a larger library of remotely hosted beautiful Gutenberg blocks that you can hook up and into and search to get those Gutenberg blocks back out and into your blog client side for everyone else to see.
Well, like, and I guess Gutenberg Cloud is sort of the first iteration of that idea.
Yeah.
That's definitely
it's a great experiment. It's like, this is not even something that maybe WordPress Core will have this, maybe it won't. But I think that there's going to be room for companies to do it. There's going to be room for organizations to do it, whether it be a profit thing, whether you're selling blocks, whether you're making huge libraries available for free. I think there's room for everyone there.
Now, I haven't used Elementor. I haven't used other page builders, but and I keep seeing people who use these things really scoff at the fact that Gutenberg as a page builder right now just cannot compare it to what's available on the market. But, you know, down to the source, is Gutenberg actually a page builder? Because I use it to write posts. I build posts. I'm not using it to build pages. I know you could use it to build pages, but I think down at the core level, I don't really – Gutenberg is not built as a page builder, is it?
Right now, no. Like it's a post. It's focused on the post editor.
That's an incorrect comparison to go from a like Elementor and compare it to Gutenberg, because Gutenberg is not right now. Its focus is not page building like those editors, those page builders allow you to do.
No, I think over time, particularly as Gutenberg expands into like site customization, it will start to look more like a page builder.
Sure.
But I don't think it will ever be comparable to Elementor or any of the page builder plugins. I think where the real value is there is that Gutenberg provides a common base for all of them. Mm-hmm. And when I've spoken to all of the major page builder plugin creators, they're all super excited about that they're able to focus on the things that they do best. They're able to look at, okay, how do we provide this advanced functionality that people want? How do we provide all this kind of super super customizable things? Where WordPress Core is not going to provide those kind of advanced options. It never has, and I don't think it's ever going to be WordPress's place to provide that.
And over the years since WordPress's creation, its foundation, if it's going to add a contact form and core, it's not going to just take Gravity Forms and throw everything from Gravity Forms in a core. It's not going to take Woo Themes menu management system and just throw it in the core. That was a whole palette exchange that happened there, and you're going to edit it and build a foundation. It's all about building what you need for a foundation for others to build upon. And we're already starting to see that happen with page builders. And if you got to be pretty excited. What's your opinion on the work that Elliot Condon and his team is doing with ACF? They seem to be doing some awesome things with Gutenberg.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like I've had a few chats to Elliot and kind of looking at what they're doing and chatting about like how ACF and Gutenberg can work really well together, how ACF can provide like the functionality and the experience that their users are used to, while also kind of bringing it into this new Gutenberg block-based world. And so that's really, really cool. So they're like the thing they released recently with their ACF create block functionality, where people are able to define blocks in the same way that they've historically been able to define meta boxes, for example, or at least meta boxes in ACF. So that's providing that kind of advanced functionality and that kind of interface that people are familiar with helps like all of the millions of site build millions of sites and all of the site builders who are so used to working with ACF kind of helps them get used to this new Gutenberg way of doing things.
So to reel it back in, because we're at an hour here. So When's WordPress 5.0 coming? When's the merge proposal? When's this all going to go down?
Are you
going to be on stage in a suit in Nashville in December?
Gary had joked in our quick, like, two minutes before the show that something that I thought was really funny is to just merge WordPress into Gutenberg instead. I love that idea.
I mean, let's go with that way. I think much with like the rest of the entire Gutenberg project, it's still, I know it's not an answer that people like to hear, but it depends. Like, we're not going to go out and say we will get it out by this date, because if we say that and then discover that there's a problem, yeah, we have to either release something that's going to break or we push the date. So what we're saying, what we're able to say now is, okay, we're Gutenberg, we're confident of, and what we feel that is reasonable to be telling people is, like, Gutenberg, the plugin as it stands is close to saying, right, we've done all of the features that we're going to do. It's a case of like a few plugin releases away from being able to say, this is what we're happy releasing in WordPress 5.0. So I think over the next few weeks, we're kind of going to see more about what a timeline for WordPress 5.0 is going to look like, what the merge proposal is going to look like. Gutenberg is such a huge project that it's possibly not even going to be a merge proposal. It's going to be a merge proposal across every team in WordPress. It's going to be one for core, talking about the particularly focusing on the code and the architecture. It's going to be one for design, talking about like the design libraries and the patterns and how this can be integrated. It's going to be one for accessibility. It's going to be one for accessibility. And I think, I mean, Gutenberg accessibility, it does get a bit of a bad rap. I don't think it's quite as, I think that there are legitimate issues that we still need to work on that need to be fixed before 5.0. I think it also, it's suffering from those initial impressions, the first impressions where it was bad and where it hadn't been done properly. But since then, things have improved enormously. And so we're going to see across every division and even every component in WordPress talking about what are the merge requirements here. And it's both a huge task and we can split it up into lots of smaller tasks. So we'll see a lot more coming, but it's not like it's going to be, there are set deadlines and these are the specific things that will happen. It's a case of bringing in more people and saying, okay, how do you think about this section? You're an expert in this. Do you think it'll work?
I know how it's going down. Nashville, December, Matt Mulloway goes on stage. He's got a giant red button. He pushes the red button. WordPress 5.0 is released to everyone. He drops the mic. End of the state of the word. That's it. He's done.
Because then after he pushes the button, he brings out the clippers. Yes. And he shaves the Guten beard off live.
Yeah, on stage.
It's just like...
Or a professional barber or something like that.
A barber chair on stage would be pretty funny. I'd be out. That would be pretty funny.
I appreciate your sense of humor, guys, but please don't give Matt ideas.
he completely wasted the boot that was on stage last year. He completely didn't use it.
That's right. Well, 5 blocks out of it.
Something I was reminded of with Matthias's post is that he's still posting on the core blog on Make, and that there is no editor. We have accessibility design, themes, mobile. We have polyglots documentation. There's a lot of Make blogs, but that there isn't a blog specifically for editor.
Yeah, just a tag, I think.
Yeah, just a tag. And so I would imagine that Gutenberg will need a new home. Maybe not. Maybe, you know, however else that'll happen on GitHub, maybe it'll be a separate thing. That's fine. But at least that editor as it is in WordPress, WordPress may want to have things that, or it is possible that just like WordPress's integration with TinyMCE was pretty tricked out custom version of TinyMCE that the things that might feel right for WordPress core may not eventually feel right for Gutenberg for everybody. I mean, maybe not. And so that was my, every time I see Matthias post, I'm like, oh yeah, that's still a, these are still core updates. This is not, there is no editor. He's an editor focus, but there is no editor like team. And it makes me wonder if once it's in and everything kind of settles, if an editor team may emerge out of that.
It's a big thing. I mean, Gutenberg itself is the project focus will expand beyond the editor. So it's like the editor is part of it, is like the main thing for now, but it's really in kind of the same way that Gutenberg is being built against the REST API and it's improving that. The block editor, the editor interface is built against Gutenberg's underlying programming APIs. And like it's those APIs that will need to be worked on to start doing site customization and that kind of thing, where block editor the block editor part becomes more like just the editor screen. It's just it's a component within a greater whole.
Now, I haven't talked to him, but I wonder when Matt announced on stage that they were going to redo the editor, if like Andrew Oz did a big sigh of relief because he's like, wow, now I'm going to have hundreds of people working on the editor. He's been the TinyMCE component maintainer like forever.
It's, Oz is he's still doing that, but also he's diving into Gutenberg as well. Like he's particularly like being an expert on all of the TinyMCE behavior, like how it all hooks together and how it all works and what works for TinyMCE, what doesn't. Like his expertise has made like Gutenberg vastly better.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't even talk about this. Maybe we can go over this real quick, but Gutenberg is actually starting to roll out on WordPress.com sites, which is amazing. It's very interesting watching the Gutenberg support forum, just doing a search on the support forums and for Gutenberg and seeing what people were saying. Can you share any information about what you know about the rollout? And you know, is it the same exact Gutenberg that we have on WordPress.org?
Yeah, it is. It's, I think there are some small tweaks to make it work against, WordPress.com's API, but again, like at a core, like that's the same kind of thing as Drupal have done. Like it's just taking out the bit that talks to the API and replacing it with a different one. As far as what's running on, WordPress.com, it's the same code base. So it's, there have been, It's been challenging. Like WordPress.com is a very different architecture to WordPress core. So just straight out rolling out a plugin isn't particularly one as big and as complex as Gutenberg. Isn't quite so simple. So there have been a lot of people doing a lot of really good work to get that running. But it's at the moment it's just running in WP Admin. But there's also work to get it running in Calypso as well. And to figure out kind of how that's all going to work together. It's really, really cool.
Any more work on getting Gutenberg into P2?
It's running on some of Automatic's internal P2s. Yes. It did run into a lot of problems with the P2 theme, It's kind of my fault because I was on the team that wrote this iteration of P2. People teams in Automatic are using that as their primary P2 interface. Cool. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. So I mean any final words here with Gary before we have him on again, just before he goes on stage to help Matt push the big red button.
No, man, it's just always good to see you, Gary. I'm happy we were able to sit down and hang out for a little while.
Likewise. Thank you very much.
And I just, man, it's going to be I'm fingers crossed. I'm hoping that the WordPress 5.0 either comes out on or near the state of the word, because I think it would be really cool to be in that building with 2,000 other WordPressers and hearing the buzz going around about WordPress 5.0 and the editor and what people are working on. And it's going to be an exciting sort of state of the word, I think, this year, if WordPress 5.0 comes before then. So
I'm going to be looking for for all of the barbershop related Easter eggs that may or may not be happening. I'm gonna be keeping an eye out.
We'll have to see what we can do. I have to have a chat to the WordCamp US organizing team. See what can happen.
All right, Gary, man, thanks a lot for coming on the show and giving us some detailed updates on what's going on with Gutenberg and what we can expect. How can people keep in touch with you? I mean, do you have any parting words here for my audience?
Ultimately we want to make Gutenberg the best it is for everyone. So the best way to provide feedback on Gutenberg is on the Gutenberg GitHub repo, github.com/WordPress/Gutenberg. Send in bug reports, do some testing, figure out, try moving a shortcode across or a widget and see how it works, what works well, what goes wrong. We want to hear everything good and bad. As far as I go, I can be contacted. I'm on Twitter at Gary Pendergast. My blog is pento.net, or I post selfies to pento.blog.
And I also wanted to throw this out there. If you are an agency or developer working on a project with Gutenberg and you're running into issues, I know some have said that the documentation still needs quite a bit of work, but a lot of people have reported that the people in the core editor Slack channel have been very helpful on helping to solve issues for agencies. So I just wanted to throw that out there. If you run into issues, hop on into the core Slack WordPress Slack instance. There's a channel called Core Editor, I believe, and ask your Gutenberg questions in there.
Yes, please do.
It's like advertising for the old IRC. Is the old IRC still up? Is it still running?
Oh, it still runs. I mean, I don't really use IRC anymore, but every time I do have to open a client, it's like it opens up. Oh yeah, that's still there.
We are talking about Slack channels like they are AOL keywords.
Yeah. Hashtag core editor. Yep. Keyword. Gary, thanks a lot for being on the show. All the best. And I can't wait to have you on here in a few months.
Thank you. Looking forward to it, guys.
See you, Gary.
Awesome. Okay. So there you go. Everybody is now on the same page. We covered a lot of ground there episode for Gutenberg. Hope everybody kind of has a better idea in terms of timelines and scale and sort of the status of the project. Let's see. Next week is the 3rd. I believe we're going to have Vova Feldman on from Freemius on to talk about, I think he's got a new service or he's doing something new, but we're going to get some updates from him on how business is going over there. And later in the month in October, we're going to have Topher DeRosa on, and he's going to give us some updates on BigCommerce, which is a competing e-commerce platform that's out and about. He's going to inform us about that. And so there you have it. Then we'll be rocking and rolling here, Halloween. And you're still working on EDD 3.0. I mean, I think WordPress 5.0 is going to come out before EDD 3.0.
I knew you were going to say that.
You're welcome. See?
There's no way that can happen.
Okay. So
if that happens, then yeah, something has gone terribly wrong. So hopefully that isn't what happens. It is nice hanging out with everyone here, though, to be able to show off some of the things that are happening in EDD3 that maybe they haven't been paying attention to. So team meetups are good. You always get to meet in person with folks. It's been a while since I've seen you in person, too. I was just thinking about that. I haven't gotten to hang out with you in a while.
Yeah, well, I'm sure I'll be at your housewarming party. Yeah, sure.
Well, if we ever have a house and if it's ever warm in Wisconsin at that point, then You're welcome to make the trip that I know that you won't want to make.
That you know I won't make. That's right. Anyway, so that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on wbtavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JEFFR0. And John?
AOL keyword JJJ or pento.blog, where I hope to eventually make it into one of Gary's selfies, maybe at WordCamp US.
Excellent. So everybody enjoy the rest of your week. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon, morning, night. I'm not even sure anymore.
I'm not sure
either. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Sounds great. All right. Goodbye. See you, John.